You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
I have a little story to tell you first. You like stories?
I have no notes because I can't read that well. I'm just teasing. But I don't have any notes today, so I want to share from my heart today. But I want to share this first. I heard a story about four fathers. How many fathers here today waiting in the room to hear the nurse come in and say, you have a little baby girl or boy? So these four fathers, they're in the waiting room. And the nurse comes in and says to the first father, congratulations, you have twins. He said, interesting, I work for the Minnesota Twins. So anyway, the nurse comes back later on and says to the second father, congratulations, you have triplets. And he said, interesting, I work for the 3M company. Well, the nurse comes back in later and says to the third father, congratulations, you have quadruplets. He said, interesting, I work for the Four Seasons Inn. Now the fourth father is in the corner, banging his head up against the wall, moaning and groaning. And the nurse says, what's wrong with him? Well, he works for 7-Up. Now, I share that story with you because that's the only joke I know in the world. And I know I will always get a laugh. If I never got a laugh, I wouldn't share it anymore. So thank you for laughing. My wife and I are really glad to be with you. Thank you for the invitation to be here with you. We were at the Impactus Promise Keepers conference this past weekend, Friday night and Saturday. And I was the breakout speaker for the mental health area. And we ministered to about 400 men over the last 2 days. So my voice is a little sore, but still, I have a word for you today, and I hope that you're ready to receive it. How many here are, how many here have a brain? Some of you do. You got a great congregation here, Pastor. Let me ask you this. How many use it? Yeah. Some of you do, and some of you don't know. You know, you're like the scarecrow. If I only had a brain, right? We all have a brain. How many here have a mind? Oh, well, you all do. Oprah Winfrey, many years ago on her show, she used to give away stuff like cars or money or something, and she would say, "And you want a car, and you want a car, and you want a car." Well, I have a word for you today that you're mental, and you're mental, and you're mental. You know, everyone here today is mental. Not crazy, not nuts, but God designed you as he designed everybody in the world with a body, soul, and spirit. And so because you have a mind, because you have a brain, you have a mental capacity today. Just like you have a physical health, you have spiritual health, and you have mental health. Well, I stand before you today. I am a stroke survivor. I do have what's called aphasia. And so some people think I come from Quebec because they wonder if I have a French accent, eh? But I don't. The stroke, the voice you hear today is not the same voice I had 9 years ago. So it's a funny story. After the stroke that happened, I was recovering. By the way, the stroke took away my ability to talk. Now that's not uncommon. Some people don't get their voice back as time goes on, but I could speak in my mind, but I didn't know how to even form my tongue. I had to learn my ABCs, and I had to learn words again. I spent some time in a rehab center learning to speak again. But a month or so after the stroke that happened that took away my voice, I was learning some words. And so anyway, one day my wife and I went to the restaurant, and she said to me, "Oh, hi up there. I didn't see you. Wave to me. The people in the back. Yeah, you're high and lifted up. Yeah, that's great." But my wife said to me, she said, "You're going to order the meal." And I said one word. I knew one word really good. And I said, "No." But she said, "You're going to order. You have to practice speaking." And I said, "No," again. And then, guys, you know what I'm going to say next. She gave me the look. And so I said, "Okay, I'll order because, just because." So anyway, the server came over and I began to speak and try to say what we wanted. And without skipping a beat, she started to speak French back to me. And I said, "I don't speak French." And then she said, "What nationality are you?" And then I told her that I'd had a stroke, and she didn't talk to me the rest of the meal. But many people think I'm from Quebec, and I speak French, but I don't. The stroke gave me this new voice. And so, again, with aphasia, it's a disconnect from your brain to your speaking ability. My stroke was right in my speech area of my brain, right next to also the emotional side of my brain as well. I'll share more about that in a few minutes. So if today you notice that I slur, I'm not drunk. Just to put that out there, I didn't tell you, unless you have something in coffee, Pastor. I don't know, but I'm not. You know, I'm not that way. If I stutter, if I slur, if I turn blue, well, if I turn blue, then help me, okay? Then help me. So I have a mental illness as well. I've been diagnosed with a mental illness. I have a clinical depression diagnosis. But also I have mental health. Every one of us here has mental health. It's either good or bad. It can be up and down. You can be sad and happy. Mental health can be affected by different things like circumstances that happened to me, maybe quickly. It could be a loss of a loved one, because it could be a loss of a job. It could be any situation, and my mental health can be in a rut, but it doesn't stay there. Over time, maybe a week or so, I feel better, and I can function normally again. I'm not as sad. I am sad, but I'm not as sad. I can function normally. Well, when I had my breakdown mentally, I couldn't function normally at all. As a matter of fact, after the stroke, I was very, and I hope this is not a trigger for you, but I was considering ways to take my life, because I thought if this is my new normal, I didn't want it. I couldn't handle the torment and the agony that I had in my soul. For years, even as a pastor, I pastored for 33 years. Even as a pastor and father and husband, I struggled with anxiety and depression severely, but I didn't know really what it was. So, you know, I had to support my family. So, you know the cliche, just pull up your bootstraps, put your big boy panties on, you know, and then just go ahead and do your thing. And so I did that for many decades, just doing my thing, but inside I became more fearful and more empty and broken. I felt broken. I felt that I was alone in the world and no one else was suffering the way I was. one in five people in Canada suffer with a mental illness. And a mental illness is a diagnosis by a doctor that can treat you for your mental illness. So I am a stroke survivor. God has been good to me. He restored my body and restored my speech. But also, God has been good by helping me understand more of mental health, my own mental health, and my mental illness. You see, I can have a mental illness but still be mentally well. I hope you understand that. There's a big difference. So one in five people in this room today, maybe you don't know, maybe you don't have a diagnosis, but one in five people in this room today, if the stats is correct, you're struggling with a mental illness. I don't know what that might be, but maybe you do. But the other thing about that is many churches don't like to talk about mental health or mental illness because they feel that, well, people are scared to talk about it in the church. They think that mental health is not a spiritual thing, and it can be. They think that mental health will label me, so I don't want to speak about it. I don't want to, you know, be labeled as crazy. I don't want to be labeled as maybe I'm in sin. That's why I'm struggling mentally. You see, when I was in my worst state mentally, I thought it was very spiritual. I thought, then let's get people over to the house and anoint me with oil. That's my wife was on the floor with me, praying over me and asking, you know, if there was any demonic influence to be gone. And so we did all the right stuff spiritually, but still clinically, I wasn't well. I went to a church to get help, and bless their hearts, they're a great church. But what the counselor said to me this, just pray more, read your Bible more, trust God more, and you'll be okay. But there was assumption. The assumption was that I wasn't praying, I wasn't reading my Bible, and I wasn't trusting God. And we were doing all of those things. Anyway, that being the case, I didn't end up in the mental health hospital for a while. You can talk to me, I'm okay. Some people get scared of that, but I'm okay. I really am. You see, I learned how to take care of myself. But I'll tell you what else I saw in that hospital. I saw the brokenness of people. I heard stories of people that didn't want to live anymore. There was one lady that I got to know. By the way, we're going here in just a minute. This is just the introduction. You like that? Pastor, you said 2 o'clock? I know you said don't go there, but maybe 1:59. By the way, my wife and I can't stay too long afterwards. We have a plane to catch back to Toronto at 4:20. And so we're going to skip out. Sooner than later, but when I say we're not scary people, what I mean is come talk to us. We want you to talk to us. We have a booth table out there. But I ended up in the mental health hospital for a number of weeks to understand more of what's going on with me and so forth. And anyways, so to make a long story short, Agora Network Ministry has come to fruition because of the crisis that was in my life mentally. I went to the church for help. They didn't know how to help me. So my wife and I began a ministry back in 2019 to help the church, to help the believer understand that mental health is a big deal for the believer. And we have to manage our mental health just like we have to manage our spiritual health. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 3 John, Genesis, Exodus, 3 John. Third John is that book in the Bible you never read. But I'm going to read a couple of verses for you. It's a great little book. Verse 1, the elder, that's John himself. He says this to, the names they gave to people back then are interesting names. And so he says, to my dear friend Gaius, can you imagine calling your little son Gaius? But he did. He had the name Gaius or Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So we have this man of faith, John. He's building into this friend's life. And he knows him very, very well. And he says, dear friend, I pray. What a great way to start a letter. Dear friend, I just want you to know I am praying for you. Thank you for sharing about the church and prayer. I am praying for you. If someone says that to me, I am so appreciative. And, you know, we have had people in our lives that pray for us so for so many years. And when they pass on, it's like, oh, they're not praying, but, you know, maybe they're still interceding for us in with Jesus. But he says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. So is good health important? Well, John says it is. He said, I'm praying for you this way, that you will enjoy good health. Was he talking about mental health? Maybe. Was he talking about physical health? Probably. But it's all connected. He said, I'm praying that you would enjoy good health, and that all... not a little, but that all may go well with you. So I would love to have a friend like that pray that way. I'm praying for you. I want you to have good health and that everything in your life will go well. Wow, what a prayer. But look at the next word, even. So he says, even as your soul is getting along well. So I ask you if you had a brain, we all do. I ask if you had a mind, we all do. By the way, your brain, this computer, can get sick, by the way. But also the mind is what controls the brain. And you see, people, you have to understand something. There's the body, there's the spirit, but you have a soul. And the scriptures are very... they talk about the soul being the real you. Maybe I talked to the men yesterday about many times as men we hide. We wear masks. But ladies, you're not off the hook either because you do too. We all wear a mask. We want to hide the real us because sometimes we don't like the real us. Sometimes we feel shame and guilt. Sometimes we hide behind the mask of I'm okay or I'm fine or I got it all together. But deep down, you feel broken. By the way, the scriptures never say you're broken. It talks about feeling brokenhearted. And it talks about being disquieted within my soul. It talks about being downcast. It also talks about being in sin, right? Because as I disobey God, that can also bring up a mental health, unhealthy mental capacity or a state. But John here says, I'm praying that your soul is getting along well. So my question is, are you ready? How's your soul? How's your inner world? Cognitive behavior therapy says this. As you think, your thoughts will determine how you feel, and how you feel will determine your behaviors or your decisions. Let me say that one more time. How you think, your thoughts, mind, your mind. The word mind has to do with thinking. How many here think too much? How I think determines how I feel. If I'm thinking negative thoughts about myself, about other people, it's going to make me feel maybe angry or bitter towards them. So how I think determines how I feel, and how I feel will determine my behavior or my decisions or my actions. That's why sometimes in the church we stand back and say, I don't get him or her. What are they thinking? Based on how they're reacting or responding, even as a Christian. You see, my life, as I struggle with my anxiety and depression, primarily my depression, it made me think that I was really not worth too much. It made me think that I was, a loser, that I never would amount to much. You see, we believe many times the strongholds and the lies that we tell ourselves and that we also listen to by others that tell us. And we also listen to the enemy that says, yeah, you're no good. You might as well give up. You know, you'll never amount to anything. So how's your soul today? How's this inner world? Is it healthy? Are you managing it well? See, Gaius here was obviously managing his mental health and his physical health and his spiritual health well. And John says, I just want to commend you and I pray for you that everything will go well, even as your soul, your inner world is doing well. Would you come to Matthew's gospel? Matthew chapter 16, please. And Matthew has, you know, one of the great confessions of Peter as the disciple and then apostle of Christ. But I don't want to go there today. I want to go to verse 24. In verse 24, and it says this, Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. And look at verse 26, maybe with fresh eyes. What good will it be for a man or woman if they gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? You see, the word forfeit means lose. Lose what? Lose my soul. There's two different words in the Bible that talk about soul. One is the same as spirit, that which connects with God. But the other word soul in the Bible talks about the real you, your life. And so this scripture, as far as I can tell by studying in the Word, this scripture is not talking about we can lose the salvation with the soul, the spirit. It's not talking, we can't lose it or forfeit it, but we can lose our soul, our life, our inner world as we live. What's so sad is when I meet people and they're living, but they're not really living. They're not enjoying life. William Wallace, it was back in that way in history. And I forget what year, but Braveheart, you know the movie Braveheart, guys? They called me to do that part. Claudette, what are you laughing at? Look at me. My wife is a blessed woman, let me tell you that. I hope this doesn't go too far, but even my boobs are getting bigger. You know, yeah, they really are. But I'm 62. Everything starts to droop, right? Everything. But anyway, Pastor, I'm still okay. His head is down. Blow in, blow up. That's my mantra. So anyway, William Wallace, as he was trying to get his army to fight the English army, you know, the movie says freedom, right? Freedom. But this is not, it might not be historically accurate, but he said to his men, every man dies, but not every man lives. And sometimes our soul is so wounded and so trauma-filled that we don't know even how to live the abundant life that Jesus gives us. You know, folks, the time is gone, and I'm sorry. I have so much to share with you. Please come to our table. We would love to talk to you. We have some resources. One of the things that we want to do is help resource the church and the believer. We have some free courses that you can download that will teach you how to manage your mental and spiritual health. Your mind is an important thing in your life, your mind. That's why Paul talks so much about renewing your mind. He says in Colossians, set your mind on the what? Things above, not on things below. He says in Romans chapter 12 that we have to renew our mind. Then we can know God's will. Back in Isaiah talked about, you know, that our minds need to be stayed on Him. And then we'll know the peace of God. The word stayed means focused. People, your mind needs to be focused on things that are good, things that are noble, things that are right. And then in verse 9 of chapter 4 of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, then practice these things. I want to leave you with this. Maybe today you feel broken. Maybe no one feels or knows that you're struggling mentally or even spiritually because you're hiding. You have a mask on. But inside, you're like an empty vessel, and you know something's not right. And I want to encourage you to talk to your pastors and your leadership if you feel that way. Or you can talk to myself even today. Maybe you feel that, you know, I'm just living on this planet. I'm just going through the motions. The greatest healer in my life has been Jesus. And He's your greatest healer too. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, let me give you rest. Let me give you rest. Folks, I want to say this. You have some missionaries here. And they deserve your love. They deserve your compassion. And they deserve you thinking and praying through what you can help them with financially. They have been servants of God. They have been encouraged by you in the past. And so I encourage you to really pray through. Because what I want to say now is that on your chairs, we have envelopes. And we ask the church to help us because we want to help the church understand that, you know, God wants to resource you. God wants to help you. And we have the resources to help you. And so we're asking that you would consider giving a gift to our ministry. And we appreciate that. But only if you pray first about giving to these dear folks here. NCM is close to our heart too. We have had many friends who in the Maritime, we're from Cape Breton Island. And so we have some friends there that had camp. And so please consider that. Thank you so much for having us. We have some books. My wife and I wrote this book, The Beautiful Strokes of God, give you some tips there about mental health and our story. This one here is testimonies of people that felt broken, but God turned their brokenness into something beautiful. So you can avail yourself of those two. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, and thank you, folks. Let me pray for you. Will you stand with me, and Pastor will come and close. Father God, thank you so much for our time together. Thank you that we can enjoy the freedom and the wellness of being alive. But there are some here today that don't feel well. They are struggling, and they feel the stigma of mental health. And so I pray that you will break that stigma, the taboo that we often feel in the church. And I pray that you will set people free from the bondage of whatever they are enslaved to. May they know that you have want to give them the abundant life, which is up and down, but Jesus, you're consistent all the way through, and you give us joy and peace, and you can give us your love, which is unconditional. So we thank you today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.